The crisis in Ukraine has shown us that food supply in the world can easily be challenged. What can beef and dairy farmers do to increase the security around food supply? What tools are available to strengthen your milk and beef production in a new and uncertain world? To help us understand more about food security, I've invited two experts to join me. In the studio, Jakob Lykke Vorgaard, Senior Breeding Manager for Viking Red at Viking Genetics, and Aske Christensen, that we spoke to yesterday, who is member of EU Parliament and dairy farmer. This is the Breedcast produced by Viking Genetics. I'm your host, Hilke Wiersma. Hello, Jakob, and welcome to the Breedcast. Great to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jakob, just to set the scene, the number of people facing acute food insecurity continues to grow at an alarming rate. I read a report launched by international alliances, including the United Nations and the European Union, that state that 193 million people in 53 countries experience acute food insecurity. We're here to try and understand more about food supply, food security, and what that means to me as a dairy farmer. So I'd like to ask you first, Jakob, what do we mean when we say food supply and food security?
Overall, we're meaning, is there food enough for the people on the earth? Can we supply them with food? And there's more aspect into it. Because one of them is there food enough for the people on the earth? Can we produce enough? That's one thing. But the other thing is also, can they get the food? Is it possible to transport it to them? Because it also needs to be available for them. Because maybe we have food one place in the world, but if it not can be transported to another place, then they also have a few food issue there. And then the last one, that is the price. Because if the price, as we see now, goes sky high on grain and dairy products and in general food, they don't have the money to buy it. So there's more overall things affecting it, but overall it is, do we have food enough for the people on the earth?
We were very fortunate to speak to Aske Christensen, EU parliamentarian and dairy farmer, earlier this week. Here's what he had to say about the challenges farmers and the rest of the world are facing today.
One of the huge problems, I say, for farmers across the world and also in Europe, it's a very, very high price we have on energy, because we are using a lot of energy to produce fertilizers. And that we have seen in the last years or two, that fertilizers prices been twice up to four times higher than 2 years ago. It's a really, really big problem we have for farming across the world, because many of my colleagues across the world, they don't have enough money to pay for this high prices of fertilizers, and therefore they are using less fertilizer, and some farmers are using nothing fertilizer. In my opinion, we are looking to a very, very big food crisis in the next half years. So it's the biggest problem. We have already seen that on the island Sri Lanka, where our colleagues not have resources and money to pay for the fertilizer to the rice production. And now they have, the rice production is going down with 70%. The people are going on the streets, and the government and the president retired. So it's the first place in the world we have seen so big demonstrations. But we have also seen in Indonesia, they have tax on the export. Argentina also do that because they want to have a low intern price of the food.
What are your thoughts when you hear Aske's perspective here?
It's very good showing that this crisis with food security have been built up over some time. And some people will call it the perfect storm. We start to have the whole thing started with the corona made some challenge according to production around the world. And if we're going back when corona started and we look on the storage of food around the world, it have been slowly going down over the years. Not alarming, but we also need to be aware we don't have stock for years. We're still counting in days and months around the world. So it need to be moved around. Corona set down the production. It gave a transportation crisis. Then it runs into the energy problems we have now with the prices going on fertilizer. So a lot of things have been building up for this crisis that just make that the prices on food have exploded. And when we see this exploding in price, it will go into some of the countries where they have a low income, and we will have these people go on the street. We've seen it back in history many times. So it is repeating history. High food prices will affect the people's opinion on the street.
So we're facing a serious situation with food supply and food security around the world. Let's explore how farmers can play a role in finding solutions. Jakob, besides being a breeding manager, you're part of a farming family yourself. How do you see beef and dairy farmers play a critical role when it comes to food supply and food security?
There's two sides of this, I will say. Often we hear people having animal production that the best thing you can do is slaughter all your animals and just let us eat grain production, a grain producer plant, stop all animal production. But we also need to be aware that the animal production can do something that is different. Milk, for example, is a very good sources for protein and some minerals and vitamins for people. So there is something in the milk and the meat product that's giving us something for nutrition that is valuable. And then one other important thing here when we're talking about the cattle industry or the cattle farming is that cows can convert things in the nature, grass and so on, that human cannot eat. So they can convert things that we cannot use for our purpose of food, but they can convert it into something that we can eat.
Yeah, and basically convert land that's not arable, so to say.
Exactly, and there the dairy farmer and the beef farmer all around the world need to look very much into, is there some areas here where we maybe not can produce a grain, but can we do something else? And that could be grazing. And then if you combine it with nature and the local condition, then you can suddenly produce something in an area that normally not could give any food supply.
We also asked Asger Christensen, the farmer, a dairy farmer and EU parliamentarian, about how he sees the role farmers play when it comes to ensuring the sufficient food supply and food security. Let's hear what he had to say.
Farmers play a very important role of food security and food supply because it's our production that shall give the food on the plate. It's very important to we still invest in the best technologies to improve our production. And it could be a new breeding techniques, CRISPR, biocontrols and precision farming. And this will not only allow farmers to produce efficiency, it will also help for the security on the energy market. It's very, very important to take all land into produce food in the moment we have now. Because before the war, we have decided we should take 4% out of the production of land production for the next year in the new CAP. But in my opinion, it's very, very important we stop that in some years because it's more important we have enough food on the plate across the world.
So what Asger is saying that our main task is to provide food on the plate. How do you see, Jakob, that beef and dairy farmers can increase their production in sustainable ways?
We have to look on many, many different things. It's not just one thing. There's no quick fix for this. But as I said earlier, for me, it's very important with the cattle production that we can use areas that is today not being used. And we need to breed on the animals to make them more efficient. For example, work on feed efficiency. So we can reduce the amount of feed we need for the cows to produce the same amount of milk. But we also have to think about that healthy animals, animals that survive, is also very important. We have to remember in some countries, the production is low compared to Europe, for example, and US, meaning that the meat from the animal have a percentage lot more important part of it. When the cows only maybe give 10,000 liters in lifetime production, then the meat from the animals is more important than when we have 50,000 kilos of milk in Europe, for example.
So it's all about utilizing the resources that we have and getting most out of the resources that we're given. And that's also why Esker is talking about the reduction of 4% that his opinion is to skip that. So utilizing it, I'm just thinking about using beef on dairy, maybe crossbreeding. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the first one I said that was directly when you're breeding on traits, but you also have other strategical things you can do on your farm. There you can, for example, use beef on dairy. So you genomically test all your females, figured out which one is best, which ones have the lowest indexes, total merit, and then you use sexed semen on the best animals genetically to get the offspring for the next generation there. And then you can use beef on the lowest part of your dairy herd to make these crossbreeding animals that is half beef, half dairy. And then they can, for example, go on nature areas where they can be grazing, so you can combine nature and production. And the good thing with this is that you combined milk production and beef production, because one of the challenges with beef is that when the cow is just going pregnant, it's not doing anything except making the next calf, while a dairy is both milking and making calf for the next generation. So by combining these, we get a bonus. And then, of course, crossbreeding, because when they have a crossbreeding animals, you still have a high production, but you have more healthy animals, bigger survival, better feed efficiency, and better longevity, so you can cut down on your amount of offspring.
And we do actually have episodes on those two topics that you mentioned here, Jakob, crossbreeding and beef on dairy. If listeners want to learn more, pop over to the breedcast.com and find the episodes there. How can different breeding strategy help me as a farmer to increase food supply from beef and dairy production?
First of all, I think it's very important that each farmer sit down and said, okay, what is my condition? How is my farm looking? What potential do I have on my farm? Do I have a long walk for the cows? What kind of feed can I grow for the cows? And then decide, what shall I do? What breed is fitting best to my herd? Is it a very high intensive production where maybe a Holstein is doing good? Or do I have a low-cost input where a Jersey or a Red or a crossbreeding will do better? So first of all, what circumstances do I have on my farm, and what condition do I have? That's the most important thing to start with.
And trying to the aim for utilizing as much as of the resources as possible. So you recently told me about a story that you had from I believe it was a Viking Red farmer. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's an organic farmer, and he have a farm where around 25% of the land that is nature care. And what he do is he have his Viking Red heifers out there, so they are grazing and growing on nature care. And for that breed, it is possible for them to live and grow normally off this. So he can combine nature care together with a normal production. And that breed is fitting very well for that. Study have shown that that the Viking Red can grow with less energy in the feed. And so therefore, if you had a Holstein there, they wouldn't grow enough. You need to add feed of them, but the Red can live with the nature care. So that's a very good example of having the breed fitting your condition instead of trying to squeeze your condition into fitting your cows.
Jakob and Eska have shared their knowledge and expertise on food supply and food security, and how we as farmers can play a role in this new world with new demands. Now let's take a look at the future and trends and technology that are on the rise on the dairy and beef farming sky. When we spoke to Esker, we asked him what he's doing as a farmer in the EU Parliament to address the demands for food security in the future. Here's what he had to say.
I have been in Ukraine for 5 months, 5 weeks ago, and just to see what's happened there. One of the biggest problems was the grain cannot get out of Ukraine, and therefore we have made a task force in the parliament for food security, and we are going to Ukraine this week for to how we can make a new lines for grains out of Ukraine. But it's very, very, very difficult because they are exported over 16 million tons per year. It's so many tons, we don't believe it. And if we want to change that to a railway or to trucks, it needs so many trucks and rail transport, we don't believe it. And two problems. But first, in the moment, it still takes over 2 weeks to cross the border to Poland and Romania from Ukraine for trucks with grain. This problem, we must get a decision for how we can get the green transport lines for grain and sunflower oil and sunflower cake. And for trains, the problem is we don't have the same system in Europe and in Ukraine. In Ukraine, the railway tracks is 15 centimeters wider than in Europe. So we cannot go through the border from Ukraine to Europe with trains. The grain must be loaded before they can go to Europe. So there's many big problems. And just now there is 30,000 train wagon waiting with the Polish border to get into Europe with grain. 30,000 trains in the moment. It's so huge a problem. And therefore we are just discussed last week, can we make a security line to the Black Sea? We can only do that with very, very expensive weapons. And also we must make a security line on the Black Sea also. In a moment, the most of the coast to Ukraine in the Black Sea, there is sea mines. So we must sea mines the sea area before the ship can go into the harbor in Ukraine. There is only 1.5 months to their start, the new harvesting, and the stores is still full. And therefore, we look into a very big problems.
We don't understand the scope of the problem, is what Aska is basically telling us. But Jakob, what are you thinking when he mentions these things?
It's an enormous number that it's as you said, incredible to understand. But when I hear all this is grain, and they said, okay, if it's laying there for months extra, nothing had happened with the grain. Then I'm just thinking about the dairy product. The milk, I don't think that can stay there for a month. So there must be a huge challenge to get animal product sent around. And I'm quite sure this will mean a dramatically drop in animal production in Ukraine, because you cannot get your product sold. So I'm sure that will also affect it. And that means you have areas where you didn't have a grain production. You maybe have grazing before. You don't have that today. So you're losing there again. So overall, it is just a sad story that we cannot get the product out of there, because that would help on the food security around the world and also press the prices down, which is a huge issue in many of the countries, for example, in Africa.
Yeah. We also asked Asker about the potential conflict between food supply and environmental concerns and animal welfare and stuff like that. Here's what he had to say about that issue.
I do not see a conflict because the agri sector in EU are very, very modern and improving with the new technology. In my view, we can get both biogas and pyrolyze and biochar. We can get a new energy gas, and we can also reduce our impact of the climate. Biogas is come up to the top of the agenda since the 24th of February. And what we can see across Europe, but also here in Denmark, there have been invested a lot in biogas in the moment. And since the last 3 months, it's really, really, really speed up on the investment of biogas. And it's very, very good because then we can use all our bio waste. In the moment, most of the bio waste is being burnt, but when it's going through biogas, we can recycle all the phosphorus and kali to the ground for a new crop. So it's very, very good that the biogas is coming to the top of the agenda. And I'm very happy because we have also new Green Deal and climate law for farming. We have mentioned that biogas is one of the tools where we can produce with zero climate impact. And also what I said before, precision farming, CRISPR and organic fertilizer, we will improve the sustainability of the agri sector a lot. And we are just beginning for that now. Power to X in Esbjerg very, very soon will produce sustainable nitrogen for fertilizers. I'm quite sure when we are looking to the goals in Farm to Fork, where we want to reduce fertilizer and pesticides and so on, and we can get that in the future with new technologies. So I'm quite optimistic. We can use both things, take care of the climate and biodiversity and sustainability, but also produce more food to our citizens across the world.
So Asker is mentioning that he really doesn't see a conflict between food supply and animal welfare, environmental concerns, and so on. He actually says that it's pushing the speed in moving towards more sustainable farming, pushing, well, you could say efficient farming as well. In your mind, how do we as Viking Genetics play a role in that?
It is totally correct that this crisis have pushed to some of the new ideas, new thoughts. And normally we are saying that new ideas and moving very fast forward need a crisis so you can be pushed. And this is what we call a crisis to be pushed. So there is many good things here. But I also think we have to remember a little bit that if you're sitting in, for example, Africa and don't have any food on your plate, I don't think you're putting too much thoughts into animal welfare and environmental and so on. You just want food. So there is a little bit, it's also how you look on it. And when we're sitting in Europe where we have the possibility, we are thinking on these things and they need to go hand in hand. We need to think about sustainability and climate and environmental and build that into it. And that's also what Viking Genetic tried to do with the way we are looking on the breeding, where we put a lot of focus on efficiency, health trait, survival traits and so on. So we get a robust animal use less resources.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the concepts that we try to push, but also I guess the heavy investment in the CFIT safe feed project, where we invest a lot of money to become more sustainable and try to find that cow that's the most efficient, in terms of utilizing all of these resources best.
Totally correct. And if we look on breeding, there's one trade everybody was looking at, that was production. But the next trade people have been looking very much into and work with is feed efficiency, because feed is a huge amount of your cost on a farm. But it have taken many, many years to figure out how to do it. And Viking Genetic put their resources and money into the camera technology and it's showing to work, so we can measure feed intake in a normal herd. Which I think will be a trendsetter in the world, this technology, and hopefully help cattle breeding all around the world to be more efficiently for the dairy breeding in general best.
So to summarize, Jakob, from a breeding perspective, what are the three most important things that farmers can do to contribute to food supply and food security for the future?
First of all, I think beef and dairy is a very important thing, where you genomically test your animals, use beef and dairy, so you combine dairy production and beef production at the same time. Then the next thing is figure out what your farming condition is, what you should do on your farm. Is it the right breed? Can I do anything differently here? For example, nature care and so on. And then when you're breeding, look on your the total merit, but also look on what kind of cows you have. Breed for fertility, health trait, survival, and so on, so you get a robust cow, where you also look on the input, what are you putting into it to reduce the cost, instead of just looking on the output.
Thanks for joining the Breedcast today. together with Senior Breeding Manager Jakob Lykke Vorgaard and EU parliamentarian and farmer Asger Christensen, we've looked at the challenges around food security and food supply and how dairy and beef farmers can help overcome these challenges. If you'd like to learn more, please visit vikinggenetics.com. Thank you, Jakob Lykke Vorgaard and Asger Christensen, for sharing your knowledge and insights with us. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you have questions or an idea for a topic in cattle breeding that you'd like us to address, please visit breedcast.com or message us on the Viking Genetics Facebook page. My name is Hilke Wiersma. Please join me for the next episode of the Breedcast, where we'll dig into the details of another challenge faced by many farmers around the world: inbreeding and how to overcome that.